presence.
What I want to point out this morning is that the word that's used here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where it says, "The Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." The word mind here in the Hebrew is the exact same word that is translated imagination many times in Scripture. I think that there's 39 times in the Old Testament that the word imagination is used, and 20-something of those times it's this word that's used right here for mind. So what this means is that I believe that a large part of keeping your mind stayed upon God is fixing your imagination upon God. That's a big statement. And you know, most adults don't really think about that they use their imagination. We think of about imagination like children, that they have a vivid imagination and stuff. But as you grow up, you get to where you just deal in reality and you don't imagine stuff. But the truth is, imagination is an important part of your mind and how it works. You can't think without an imagination. Many people have confused imagination and fantasy. They think that, like, when you go to Disney World and, you know, you're dreaming about being the princess or something, or you're living in the castle and all of this stuff, that that's an imagination. Well, it may be related to it or something, but that's more of a fantasy. The word imagination, if you look it in the dictionary, it just literally means to be able to picture something in your mind that you can't see with your eyes, something that's not present. You use your imagination when you drive. You know, if I was to ask you, how do you get out of here? You can't see our drive right now. You can't see those things, but you've seen it when you drove in and you remember, and you could tell somebody, well, you have to go down here, and at this construction trailer, you have to take a right and go out, and you take that road and it'll curve around. You could tell me where it goes. You could describe the guardhouse down there and things, because you've seen it before and you have a picture of that in your mind. That's your imagination. When you do anything, you use your imagination. Did you know you can't build anything? When we built this building, we had to get an architect, and I drew on a napkin kind of what I wanted this to be. It was not very, very good. But the architect, we started talking and he started drawing things, and they would give pictures back and we would see things until finally I saw it and I said, this is it. And then they drew plans, and the people who built this building, they had to look at those plans and stuff, and they took what I was seeing on the inside of me that was communicated to an architect, and then he drew it, and then these builders, these workers, built this and stuff. And it's because they could picture it. You know, I built a deck on our house, and I've since replaced it with a flagstone patio type of thing. But when I was building that deck, I put a 5-gallon bucket out there, and I sat on that 5-gallon bucket, and I would just stare out there. And Jamie sometimes would wonder what I was doing. I was trying to picture. It was my imagination. Before I could build it, I had to sit down and picture what I wanted it to be like. Can you imagine what it would have been like if we'd have said, all right, here's $32 million is what we spent on this whole building process, and said, here's $32 million, build me an auditorium and stuff. What would have happened? I can guarantee you it wouldn't have been this. We had to sit down and we had to use our imagination and draw pictures. This is why we have statements like a picture is worth 1,000 words. Because whether you realize it or not, you think in pictures. Some of you aren't relating because you've never sat down and thought about this. But man, if you studied the word imagination and studied things in Scripture, imagination is a powerful force. Before I explain some things here, look over in Genesis chapter 11 and look at this. This is after the flood, and then it's talking about the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. And it says in verse 5, "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. The Lord said that your imagination is how you basically conceive things. As a matter of fact, this Hebrew word that was used here and over in Isaiah 26, verse 3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. That word means conception. That's what the word means if you look it up in a Hebrew dictionary. Your imagination is where you conceive things. It's your spiritual womb. You can't do anything that you haven't conceived. You can't give birth to something that hasn't been conceived. And the Lord said that now, since they are united, that there will be nothing restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Whether you know it or not, whether you understand and relate to everything I'm saying, your imagination is how you conceive things. And if you can't conceive it, you can't get it. The sad thing is, most Christians allow their imagination to think and conceive things that you never want to give birth to. And we can't understand why we are so depressed, why it is so hard for us to believe. It's because in your imagination, you have been focused on and conceiving unbelief and doubt. We have been taught how to think negative. We've been taught how to operate in unbelief. These examples that Paul gave this morning, everybody was just looking at the circumstances instead of listening to God. And because of it, they were allowing their imagination to see the business going out of business. They were allowing themselves to see them having to get a new job, having to go do things. And most people think, well, that's just prudent. No, it's contrary to the promises that God had given Paul and the things that the guy who was in charge of that business, he had heard from God. And you have to control your thoughts. You have to dwell in the presence of God. You have to keep your mind stayed upon God and don't allow your mind to go places and conceive things that you don't want to birth. Man, that is awesome. That is a powerful truth. And most people don't understand this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Not as you think in your head, as you think in your heart. It's on this heart level, the things that you are thinking on and dwelling, the things that your mind, your imagination is stayed upon is what's happening in your life. That is awesome. If that's true, which it is, then you know what? Focusing, staying your mind, specifically your imagination, upon God and not allowing yourself to imagine failure, to imagine defeat, is a super important part of receiving from God. You know, one of the problems I run into is when I pray for people who've been sick for a long period of time. Once you get sick, and if you've been sick for a long time, and if you've prayed, and if you haven't seen a healing manifest, you know what happens? Your imagination gets tainted. Your imagination, you get to where you now picture yourself sick. You see yourself sick. You think sick. You plan sick. People that have allergies and have grown up with it, they will, around certain times of the year, they expect to have problems. They think that way. It's in their imagination. They've conceived it. They've lived with it. They adjust. When they dream sick. You know, it's one thing if you hurt yourself and can't walk or something. But when you get to where you dream sick and you're no longer able to walk, when those things that are happening in the physical realm get to where they've invaded your soulish realm and your imagination, and you see yourself sick, you see yourself poor, that's terrible. And I have to tell people all of the time, I said, getting your body healed is not that hard, but getting your mind healed to where you see yourself well, that's where the problem lies. And people don't recognize this. They just pray and they're asking God to somehow or another invade their life and give them something different than the way you see yourself. It's not going to happen. As you think in your heart, so are you. You got to start in your heart. You've got to see things in your imagination the way that God says that they are. Your imagination is the ability to form a mental picture of something that you are not seeing physically, but it's in your mind, in your heart, you see it. You know, I've used this as an example many times. Most of you do not, you've probably not sat down and counted the number of doors in your house. But you know what? I could ask any person in here, how many doors do you have in your house? And you could tell me. Although you've probably not counted them. You know why? Because you could look at it. Sitting right here in this room, you may be thousands of miles away from your home, but you can see your home and you can count the number of doors. I could ask you, how many windows do you have in your house? Most of you have never sat down and counted your windows. And yet you could sit down and ask, if I was to say, how many windows do you have in your living room? You could sit down right now and count them. Because you got a picture of it. You think in pictures. You can't do anything without pictures. You can't give me directions to the airport without pictures. You'd have to say, well, you go out here and you go up here to Highway 24 and you turn left at this light. And if I was to ask you, you know, most of you don't know this area, but if I was to ask you how you head out to Deckers, a town over here, you'd say you go out here to 24, you go down, and your very first light after you get on 24, you'd turn left. That's 67. And see, I'm sitting here describing things to you that I can't see that from here, but I've got a picture of it on the inside. That's how you give directions. You can't drive someplace if you can't picture where you're going. Whether you know it or not, your imagination is something you use every minute of every day. And if you aren't conscious of what I'm talking about, and if you don't understand this, then by default, your imagination is going to start going to the negative. You know, Barry talked the other day about his neighbor that quit taking care of his yard. And he didn't go out and plant weeds. They just automatically come up. If you don't sit here and understand the power of your imagination and take control of it, well, then by default, it's going to go bad. You're going to start seeing failure. You're going to see yourself weak and sick and poor and all of these things. It takes effort to focus your mind, your imagination on the Lord and see things come to pass. And brothers and sisters, most of us have a very negative imagination. We picture failure and defeat. If the doctor tells you you're going to die and he says you got 4 months to live, most people will immediately, their imagination will go to picturing this. They'll go to thinking about what's it going to be like. How am I going to suffer? And you will go and relate to other people that have had something similar, and you'll immediately identify and start picturing that. You'll think about your funeral. What songs are they going to sing at my funeral? What are they going to say about me? You'll think about your family that's left. Do they have insurance? What's going to happen? Will anybody miss me? And that's a negative imagination. And you are conceiving things when that happens. On the other hand, you could take the word of God that says that, you know, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you could take the word of God and you could sit there and picture yourself healthy. And I'm going to say something here. If I had time, I could defend this. I don't have time to defend it. But I believe with all of my heart that you cannot experience anything in your physical body or your life that you haven't already pictured happening. And if you refuse to see defeat, if you refuse to see failure, if you refuse to see yourself dying of this sickness, and if all you did was keep your mind stayed on the Word of God, He would keep you in perfect peace, and it would be impossible for you to fail. For you to fail, you've already failed in your mind being stayed upon God. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And again, I've said this many times, and I've had people come up and say, but I didn't plan on this. I didn't see myself failing. I didn't see these things happening. But we live in a fallen world, and things will come your way. You could have sicknesses attack you that you didn't necessarily see. You didn't bring it upon yourself. You could be exposed to something. But the ultimate outcome, whether you overcome it or whether it overcomes you, is dependent upon your imagination. If you have only seen yourself as only human, And I'm no different than the person that doesn't know God. And you aren't thinking about the authority that God has given you and the power of your words, and by His stripes you're healed. And if you just think like a mere human being, then you have limited yourself in your imagination to only physical results, only what the doctors could produce, only what the natural realm can produce. And that imagination limited you and stopped God from moving. Many of you have heard me talk about that this whole project here, the Lord told me in 2002, I was limiting Him by my small thinking. At that time, we had a 14,000 square foot building. And now, anyway, it's a long story. I could spend a lot of time talking about this. But man, it is fantastic what God has done since then. At that time, we had 29 employees. Now we have over 500 employees worldwide. At that time, I went back and looked this up not long ago, and I forget exactly, but in 2002, I think we were at $1 million average income. Now, in just the U.S. alone, we have to have over $40 million. And that's not including all of our foreign offices and things that are going on. And we need much more than that. I need about $60 million a year to keep all of this building stuff going. We have grown in, what's that, from 2002 to 2015, 13 years, we have grown nearly 40 times, at least a minimum of 20 times we've increased. And you know what the difference was? God spoke to me that I had limited Him by my small thinking. That was my imagination. I had a word from God. God told me that I was going to reach the world. God told me we were going to do a lot of things. But you know what? I wasn't seeing it. And there's reasons for that. Because when you first start out, God showed Jamie and me, I remember before we got married, the Lord gave Jamie a scripture about that I will preach in the great congregation. And Jamie and I both believed that someday we would be speaking to people all over the world. We believed it. But did you know when you start out, and I for the first 2 years pastored a little church in Sigaville, Texas, and we had anywhere from 3 to 5 people in attendance, and 3 of them were my family, Jamie and me and my oldest son. And sometimes I had an associate pastor, Marshall and Cindy Townsley. There was nobody but us, but I had an associate. So most of the time it was 5 of us, and sometimes we'd have up to 10 people. And for 2 years I ministered like that, and the largest crowd we had was 12, except when we gave away free food, and sometimes we had more people than that. But normally, anywhere from 5 to 12 people. And when you have 5 to 12 people and you're talking about, I'm going to have a worldwide ministry and I'm going to preach to the great congregation. You know what? People just look at you like you're crazy. It doesn't seem appropriate. And so I got to where I quit speaking my vision. I mean, it's like if you reach down and pet a dog, and if every time you pet it, it bites you, eventually you're going to quit petting that dog. And if every time you tell people that God's given me a worldwide ministry and they look and it's you and your associate pastor and that's it, after a while you just quit saying it because of the ridicule and the stuff. So I got to where it wasn't appropriate. It wasn't time. And so I quit saying it, and we struggled for decades and went through all kinds of hardship. The largest church I ever pastored was 100 people. And I mean, we were just struggling. And finally, when we started on television in 2000, our ministry doubled from 1999 to 2002. It doubled. I thought, man, awesome things were happening. And we were coasting. And for the first time in our life, I could see light at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't another train. I mean, it looked like we were going to live and not die. We were ministering to people. Things were working. We weren't behind. We were ahead financially. And you know what? I was just enjoying it. And then God shows up and says, you're limiting me by your small thinking. And I realized that even though we were growing and good things were happening, matter of fact, during that summer, I sat down and the Lord showed me at the rate we were growing, to reach my vision and accomplish what God told me, I figured it out, and and projected that I would have been 120 something years old by the time I would have begun to accomplish the goal. And my lightning fast mind figured out that I'm moving way too slow in this. Even though we may have doubled, it was just not going to get there. And so God challenged me that I had to take the limits off of Him. And man, I hadn't got enough time to even do this stuff justice. But in a nutshell, what I did, I repented, first of all. And I realized that it was a fear of men. It was a fear of people's ridicule and rejection. I didn't want people ridiculing me and saying, no way you'll ever get there. I also didn't want people thinking that I was trying to build my own kingdom, which was a real problem with me. Some people don't think that way, but I did. I did not want people to think that I'm trying to build a kingdom or doing this for myself. And I guarantee you, there's been people that have criticized me every time we talk about building buildings or doing something. People think I'm trying to build a kingdom and stuff. And that's not true. It's not true at all. But people criticize you. And I didn't want the criticism. And I just didn't want these things. Also, I didn't want the potential of failure. You know, we were in a place to where I could have just coasted and I wouldn't have failed. I could have been ministering. And at that time, I forgot exactly what our stats were, but I know that when we started on television, we covered 3% of the U.S. population, and I think in 2002 we were up to 6 to 7% of the U.S. population, and we were on the God Channel reaching a lot of people overseas and stuff. And you know, that was good, and it was changing people's lives, but I could have done that forever and never have had to have stretched myself, believe for anything, and I didn't want the potential of failure. There are some of you right now that, just as Paul was talking about, God's speaking to you about coming to Bible college, or it could be other things, starting a business, taking some step of faith, increasing what you're doing, and you really know that that's God speaking to you, but there's a resistance on your part because you don't want to risk failure. Most people would rather play it safe and be miserable than to run the risk of doing something great. I could spend a lot of time amplifying on that, but there's a lot of people that honestly, they're afraid. They would rather do less. They'd rather play it safe than to just go for it. I'm telling you, this is not a dress rehearsal. This isn't like we're practicing for the real thing. Every day that the sun rises and sets, you've lost 24 hours. You've either invested it towards what God has called you to do, or you have just blown it. And we need to go for it. God's a big God. God never created any of us to just be people that are insignificant. Now, you need to define that somewhat, because God didn't call everybody to be on television or to do what I'm doing or something else. But God called you to be absolutely miraculous. Your life should be miraculous. In your realm of influence, you should be, man, shining like a light. You should be making a difference. It ought to be that when you're gone from this earth, somebody misses you.